If you're big on Black culture, you're big on Little Rock. Home to dozens of Black-owned businesses and restaurants and six sites on the U.S. Civil Rights Trail, Little Rock is the perfect spot for your next vacation. Whether you're big on food or fashion, history or heritage, you're gonna be big on Little Rock. Plan your visit today at littlerock.com.
Built to Last is a podcast by American Express that highlights the stories, history, and continued legacy of Black-owned small businesses that shape American culture. Through these important conversations, host Elaine Welteroth explores how the Black business leaders of our past have inspired today's Black-owned small businesses. Check out the debut season of Built to Last on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
It's a new year, and it's time for new possibilities, and do we ever need them? Cricket Wireless can help you make the easy switch to the mobile plan that's right for you, starting at $30 a month. Smile and switch to Cricket. Activation and other fees and restrictions apply. Terms subject to change. See store for details.
Welcome to the Friend Zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the Friend Zone.
Let's start the show. I'm in the zone.
Parents' favorite line is, I'm not one of your little friends. Duh, I would have been smacked the shit out of you. I would have been beat you. I would have been changed you since the first time you yelled at me. I would have smacked.
Those are the best.
That's right. Okay. They chose violence. I immediately felt seen. Now, this is a video clip from the TikTok of a wonderful, beautiful Black queen named Kiki Mulani. That's K-I-K-I-M-U-L-A-N-I. And all I have to say is points were made, okay? It's Women's History Month. We coming off the heels of Black History Month. I figured what better way, to usher us on in than by the hands of a smart Black queen like Kiki Mulani, who made a point. Kiki said parents love to be like, oh, I'm not one of your little friends. And then she went on to say, duh, my nigga, I would have been smacked the shit out of you the first time you yelled at me. Like, wow. I would have been like, obviously, you know, like I'm saying, like, I had never heard someone articulate my thoughts more concisely, more succinctly, never. Now, parents really be pushing it and then have the audacity to say something like, I'm not one of your little friends. Do you think I just walk around every day letting motherfuckers disrespect me, call me dumb, snatch shit out of my hands, hit me upside the head, threaten violence against me? I don't just let people do that shit to me in the real world. I know you're not one of my little friends. And now you insult my intelligence even more by saying some shit like that to me. And I like the way that she referenced what her reactions would have been otherwise, okay? Can you imagine somebody other than your mama telling you, pick them shoes up, go move them shoes, sit your ass down, shut up, don't say nothing, do this, pick it up, go make this for me, go help me with this, because you supposed to respect me no matter what I do to you. Parents got a lot of motherfucking nerve. And so just like she said, you telling me you one of my little friends, duh, my nigga, which is the hashtag this week because that's coming back too. Duh, my nigga, I would have been smacked the shit out of you the first time you yelled at me, okay? And wow. It just met me in the middle, okay? Met me in my heart. So with that being said, I want to welcome everyone to Women's
met
History Month.
It
met me in the
so
middle.
Good.
Is that our episode? Met me in the middle.
Look, early,
up
2 seconds
with
in.
It, okay? Shine a light on them. With that being said, you know, I'd like to welcome everyone to Women's History Month and the Friend Zone. Your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental hygiene, because who in the hell wants overbearing parents? I know I don't, and neither do you. Hi, friend. How you doing?
I'm amazing. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good. Doing real good.
All the women who are independent. had to do that.
So before we jump into this week's episode, does anyone have any announcements?
No.
Why do y'all look like that?
Well, I have some things coming up, but I will just start you off with, it is the month of March. My birthday is March 15th, which falls on a Monday. But, you know, it's my birthday month. Corona got me last year, you know, COVID's, you know, still here this year, but I'm trained now, so we'll see what happens. But yeah, it's my month.
Do you have any plans?
Stay alive. That's pretty much. I mean, there's been a lot of business dealings happening this month. So if any more business wants to continue to come my way, like, it's crazy. It's only Tuesday. What are we doing?
But amen.
Yeah, that's all I really want. You know, just more business dealings. But plans, no plans. I'm always throwing caution to the wind. How amen. About you, friend? You got any announcements, friend?
I do. But first, I want to say thank you so much for all the Ritz love. Now, I'm so glad you guys finally got to see it.
Knocked it out the park. Your creative genius coupled with Noah's undeniable star quality.
Oh, that was my just, God.
That was an incredible outing for you. That was great, friend.
Isn't it just the cutest? I have to shout out the DP, which is Justin Lamar. Justin Lamar, the sound was Kwame Lee, and the edit was Max Hilding, which is Maya, Shameless Maya's husband. We keeps it in the family around now. These parts.
Right.
And of course, the talent. Shout out to Mary Akpa, which is one of Jade's best friends who I brought in, and then Jade of all Jades, and ASAP Noah.
Yes, young Noah, the God.
Oh, she did so well. She did so well.
And you know what's so exciting? I just have to say this really quickly. I told Noah what to say, but did not have to tell her how to say it because she has such personality. Mm-hmm. So I gave her the lines, but I also started wanting her to inject more of herself in it. So like the part where she closes the laptop, all I said to her was, show me what you feel like when school's over. Mm-hmm. And then she went, and did the thing with her head back. You know, so it was a lot of that throughout it, which I just think is so cute. Because it's like, you don't have to tell this little girl how to do anything. She's only 7, like 7 years old, and murdered this commercial. It has over 800,000 views. In 5 days.
Deservingly so.
Bitch finna hit a million. It's viral at that point.
It's like about to hit a million views, which is unreal. I won't limit myself and say I didn't think that would happen, but it just wasn't on my mind. My only job was to make sure that it came out bomb and, you know, made sure the whole family ate. So thank you to all of y'all who did not play with the retweets and the comments.
It's amazing.
I mean, Twitter and Ritz were like, yo, your fucking base is wonderful. Like, they were so thankful. So thank you so much. And obviously, thank you to the team for helping me make that happen. And then I did want to say one more announcement. Mm-hmm. Sony Music Entertainment has a venture that they did with a company called Broccoli. Mm-hmm. And it's a Black woman owned. Shout out to Renee Richardson, who is a huge fan of her work. She's from the UK. And it's basically, it marks Sony Music's first podcasting venture. And so isn't that so cool? I love seeing the labels kind of jumping in, kind of seeing how they're going to integrate what they have to offer into the podcasting scene.
Yeah.
So for Women's Month, they decided to create this series on a podcast called Anthems, where it's going to drop a podcast every day of the month. So that's 31 podcast episodes, all produced, hosted, and created by women. And I was chosen to be one of the producers. And by the time this episode drops, you will hear my episode because it drops on the 3rd and the Friend Zone drops on the 3rd.
Let's go, friend.
Beautiful alignment. Such a cool project. It was a bit of a stretch for me because I tend to produce things that have more like, you know, like segments and structure and science. And this was more creative, like writing, which I haven't done in a long time. Mm-hmm. Basically, they said, we'd love for you to pick a word and then talk about that word for 6 minutes. Whatever comes out, just talk about it. Stream of consciousness. I was like, wow, okay. That's interesting. A little bit of pressure, but I was like, I know myself, I can do it. Knocked it out the park. And I'm very excited for you guys to hear what I came up with. My word was aloneness.
Oh, Lord.
So I tapped into...
I already know.
I tapped into the energy of that word and talked for 6 minutes straight. And it ended up being a really cool project. And where the Sony Music part comes in is that they had a producer, Hannah Brown, who put sound design and kind of weave those musical elements in and out of my story. So very excited about that. Very excited to hear your feedback. Like I said, that is dropping today. And wonderful. It's called Anthems. You can look that up on your podcast app or Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. And my episode will be there. Hey, friend. Hey, aloneness. Very excited to hear your thoughts.
Wonderful, friend.
I know. So cool. I feel like I've been stretched creatively this month with projects that like I normally maybe be like, oh, I don't know. But I'm like, you know what? There's a difference between something not being for you and something being different for you. And so I've been kind of tapping into that, leaning into that side and just like stretching myself because I know I'm capable. So that's it for my announcements.
you ever given just... away, look, you know, sometimes how we're doing the podcast, but then it feels like you're just listening to the podcast. Or, you know, you was about to give me a morsel there. So I was just sitting here like,
That's why I laughed because I looked at both of y'all's faces like, yes, all right. So let's jump into the recap. Oh, wait, no, we have a black business that Asante has for us this week.
Yes, yes, that is correct. I dipped into the emails here and I'd like to give a shout out to Alicia Brooks. The subject here is the Black Hair Experience. Hey, Asante, ooh. Dustin, and Fran, I hope this email finds you well. I always love when people say that, so I have to read that part. I'm one of the creators slash owners of the Black Hair Experience, an interactive exhibit that was created by two Black women to celebrate nostalgic moments in Black hair and Black culture. Think Museum of Ice Cream, but Black. Created to celebrate us and our experiences. From trips to the salon, to a swing made from our hair braid extensions, we have taken moments from our culture and turned them into photo shareable spaces. We understand the severity of the pandemic, and we also acknowledge that the need to be able to engage in somewhat normal experiences. Because of this, we have a serious safety plan in place, which includes severely limiting the amount of people allowed in the building at any one time, spaced out installations with social distancing floor markings, as well as COVID-19 screenings before entry, mandatory mask and temperature checks upon arrival. We are currently open in Atlanta, Georgia, and our DMV location is scheduled to open in May 2021. So if you guys are interested in the Black Hair Experience, if you want to check out that swing braid, go check out theblackhairexperience.com. Or you can just go straight to their Instagram because, you know, everybody is on social media and their Instagram is The Black Hair Experience. So it's theblackhairexperience.com and at The Black Hair Experience. And that's the black business of this week. And it was pretty black, so I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Asante. So on last week's episode titled Nook and Frannies, thank you, Dustin Ross, we discussed HBO Max's Fake Famous documentary, which was an inside look at the multi-billion dollar influencer industry. Such a great conversation. I always love having those combos with you guys. And as always, those of you listening had a lot to say. Asante is already laughing. So who stood out to you, Asante?
Again, in the emails, you know, I meant to pick a serious one, but this was the one I chose when I read it. Shout out to Natasha in the emails. The subject of this one literally said, it simply says Wiley. And the email reads, hey, Asante, I love this show and have been a super fan since the beginning. I get your point about Wiley not being from the real Atlanta, but please don't disrespect Macon in the process. Well, Natasha, I could not disrespect Macon as I am not that familiar with it. I have not been because I am from Atlanta, but I do live in New York now. So that is all I had to say to you, Natasha. And that's what I found in the emails. What did you find?
Macon, you better rise up.
And normally I would cuss somebody out for saying some shit like that, but I understand what it's like to be proud of where you come from.
I mean, yeah. It's just that Wiley was not from the real Atlanta, as I stated, and Macon, you felt that. So, Natasha, I feel you, but I don't feel you because I was never there.
Sometimes you might get hit by a stray. You know what I'm saying? It might not be for you, but you know, if you identify with part of, you know, the boomerang that's getting thrown out there, it might hit you on the way back. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you find yourself in that position. It's about discernment. It's about ascertaining. You know what I'm saying? It's about logic.
Making us like, how did I get put in it? How am I in it?
Because of what was her name?
Natasha.
Cousin Natasha, that's who put you in. Natasha Bedingfield put you in it.
Okay, feel the rain on your skin.
Okay. Feel the rain in Macon.
People gonna regret riding into our show, my lord.
We're just having fun.
Thank you, Natasha.
What about you, friend? What you found out there?
I actually have two comments. Miss Jen said, I have a hard time getting to sleep for as long as I can remember, but around middle or high school, I definitely started to make my own little nest. I had a body pillow and an assortment of other pillows and stuffed animals on my bed, even took them to college and couldn't care less what my roommate thought. Now I'm disabled, I'm quadriplegic, and so it's harder to get comfortable with all of that. So CBD oil it is. I do miss it sometimes, though. And that was cool for Jen to relate to the nook that I was describing that I do whenever I feel like my anxiety kind of kicking up. I just need, it's kind of equivalent to how kids create their forts when they kind of need to like hide out. It's my version of an adult fort. So
that's right.
I love how many of you were sharing the little things that you do. And funny enough, a lot of us do the little nook in the bed. I was like, whoa, that's always so cool when you think you do some weirdo shit. And then there's like, me too.
I'm not the only weirdo.
Not the only weirdo. M.A. Logan on SoundCloud said, random, but I would love for you guys to do an episode on pretty privilege, especially in an era where creatives work a lot on camera-facing apps for marketing. I actually had that written down last year to do an episode on pretty privilege, but I didn't, it was hard for me to create around it because I felt like I just didn't have enough layers.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know.
I'm ugly, so I don't know.
I'm
out.
Not pretty.
A wooden nickel. A penny with a hole in it. That's what I am.
A penny with a penny.
So I ain't got nothing to contribute.
But I do think it's something that we can talk about. You know, I'll definitely keep that in mind. The fact that it's coming back around, maybe there's something to it, especially after the fake famous documentary.
We're going to talk about ugly privilege, too. Because there's another conversation going on right now that I'm telling you, some ugly people getting away with some shit. So we're going to talk. We're going to talk about it.
Those are my only two. Dustin Ross, what'd you find on the Twitter street?
This is related to your nest. This isn't, or your nook rather. This isn't one of my tweets I picked this week, but I did see a tweet on, it was one of those Reddit threads, am I the asshole or whatever, that I've talked about.
Oh Lord, before. We need to do another episode of that.
Well, it's time, because this woman wrote in and said that her boyfriend slept in a nest. She said that he had a big ass pile of clothes.
Read that.
You saw
I did.
And he didn't wash the clothes, and she said he was stinking and shit. But he
didn't have a bed. There's a difference.
Mm-mm. And he slept in a nest of clothes by choice.
He slept on a pile of clothing.
That he
no
just,
bed.
He that's what he wanted to do. And he said he didn't wear those clothes. He just kept them for the purpose of that nest. Now, how the term nest, you know, that usually refers to a bird and sticks and things that they build to create a nest, which is a legitimate source of rest and home for birds, essentially. You know what I'm saying? A bunch of filthy ass fucking clothes on the floor in a room that you sleeping on and got the nerve to try to ask her to sleep in it with you. That is the nastiest thing that I have.
And
ever
the fact
heard.
She had to ask him to wash it because of the hygiene, and he told he was feeling judged and offended and
as
insulted.
He should have been. Some people need to be judged and measured. And that's one of them right there. But anyway, I when you said the nook, it made me think about that. Okay, so let me go back to my likes. So the first tweet that I want to reference comes from our boy Kirk. Kirk Wright 79.
Hi Kirk.
Amazing writer, killing it on For Life on ABC, and has a bunch of other dope shit coming too. But Kirk tweeted the recipe to 7-Up pound cake. Now, I know it's March. I know February is over. I know February is over. But if you have never had a 7-Up pound cake, your life is about to change.
I've never had a 7-Up pound cake.
I was just
going to
say, I don't think Fran has. I don't know why I felt that.
Fran, let me tell you. Let me tell you. Imagine pound cake, right? And I'm not even going to say you can really even taste the 7-Up in it, but it does something to the... the texture and the it's an airy, like, I can't even describe it, but it's very good and very heavy.
Where can I get one?
You can get one on my Twitter. I will be sharing the tweet, and I'm going to tag the friend zone in the tweet. so that you can see the pound cake.
So I could put in my order?
Yeah, this is an amazing key. This is really a key of life. This is one of remember the song, album Songs in the Key of Life? This one of them right here, the 7-Up pound cake. And I'm going to tweet it and add the Friend Zone's account in it, and we can retweet it from there just so that the listeners can have it as well. But yes, 7-Up pound cake, shout out to Kirk. It's a great recipe too. I judged it against the ones that my mother made, and that recipe measures up. So shout out to him for that. I also want to give a shout out to Thicky Smiley, first of all, for your Twitter.
Wow. Thicky Smiley.
Wow. I mean, genius. Poet Laureate. Anyway, Thicky Smiley tweeted, and that's spelled just the way it sounds too, "I need Friend Zone Pod to talk about the documentary Class Action Park one of these days. I can already hear Dustin laughing my ass off." Now, let me tell you why this set well with me, okay? This is why this right here met me in the middle, okay? Which, that's a word to Tinashe, Touch and Go. Meet me in the middle. Oh, that's Tinashe. But anyway, I've already seen this documentary, first of all. I would absolutely love to discuss it on Friend Zone. It is about Action Park, which was a legendary, iconic amusement park, adventure park out in Jersey back in like the 80s and I believe early 90s.
But it's back in the day. I remember Action Park.
You probably do because of the headlines you read about the accidents that happened there. Uh-oh. Because they weren't too keen on safety regulations.
Mm.
And there was a lot of crazy shit happening at that park. In a lot of different ways. So it's actually funny she mentioned that. I'm very familiar with the park. I'm very familiar with the documentary. You know what, damn it, we're going to watch it. So we're going to discuss it here on Friends on Pod. That's it for
me this
week.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you found out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, fine. One more.
I was about to say,
there's an account
I saw
called...
him still scrolling. That's yeah, why I was like...
Because I wasn't going to do it, but fuck it. We got to do it. You know what I'm saying? I'll be trying to step on certain toes and shit. This is music related, but fuck it.
You're
I just want to put
anyway.
It out there. So Solange Space is a Twitter account, obviously dedicated to all things Solange. And they tweeted a thread, starting with the tweet, explaining "When I Get Home, a Love Letter to Houston," a thread. And they go in depth. They break down the album track by track. They added video references for things that were sampled in the interludes, like when you hear Felicia Rashad and Debbie Allen saying, "I boarded a train, kissed all goodbye." Like they have that actual video in the thread. They go into the meanings of the songs. It's amazing. So check that out on literally Solange Space, at Solange Space on Twitter. And that's it. Now, don't ask me no more because I got them and I don't want to give them all. That's it. And happy anniversary, happy 2-year anniversary to the When I Get Home album from Solange.
Hey, Ben.
Wow, already that's bugged. Mm-hmm. So this week's episode is a Dustin Ross production. We are going in blind. We have no idea what we're up for. So go ahead and take it away, Dustin.
That's right, Dammy. You know I'm going to take you on a ride. And this ride's going to start at childhood and bring you right on up to date, right? So... Ooh. Earlier today, first of all, do y'all fuck with Dr. Seuss?
Yeah.
Seussical okay. The musical.
All right. Hell Dr. Yeah. Seuss, Cat in the Hat, Green Eggs and Ham, all those
That's
other
things.
That's
my jam.
Right? So very fine memories with the Dr. Seuss brand and Dr. Seuss as an author, those books. They are literally childhood staples for so many of us from all ages because they've been around for quite some time. Well, now I'm wondering why the eggs was green. Why the eggs have to be green, okay? Because a statement was released today from Dr. Seuss Enterprises where they said that they made the decision to stop publishing and printing 6 of their book titles because they, quote, portray people in ways that are hurtful and wrong. And this is directly in relation to race, right?
Uh-oh.
So let's just start. Let's take it a little bit back, and then we're going to follow this story, and then we're going to chime the fuck in, okay?
Oh,
so Dr. Seuss, who was born Theodore Seuss Geisel, is one of the best known authors in the world, obviously, and behind classics like, this is all according to CNN.com, by the way, behind classics like The Cat in the Hat, Green Eggs and Ham, blah, blah, blah. You guys know the titles, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. These are things that have been, you know, interpreted in film, books, television, cartoons, so many things. Over 650 million copies of his books have been sold worldwide, and that tally was completed in 2015, so it's even larger now, right? Well, according to CNN.com, six of Dr. Seuss's titles, like I said, are no longer going to be printed or published because, again, they portray people in ways that are hurtful and wrong. Okay. And the business, which they consider to preserve the legacy of the author, they want it to be ever evolving and current, you know, show up current in the marketplace, which I thought was dope. So just as a reference, the six books that they're pulling from printing are, the first one is And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street. And I'm not sure if you guys remember any of these books, but I did when I read some of the
I
titles.
I think so, yeah.
If I Ran the Zoo, McElligot's Pool, On Beyond Zebra, Scrambled Egg Super, and The Cat's Quizzer, okay? So in a statement that was actually released today, which is Dr. Seuss's birthday, by the way, it's so ironic, right?
Wow. They,
the company released this statement today and said that they made this decision after consulting educators and reviewing their own catalog. They said, and I quote, "Ceasing sales of these books is only part of our commitment and our broader plan to ensure Dr. Seuss's Enterprises catalog represents and supports all communities and families." Okay. First of all, this was caught me as a surprise because I never would have referenced Dr. Seuss's books as something that would, and of course, there's so many themes that exist in all the cartoons that we watched and all the programming that we took in as children, but I just never would have thought about Dr. Seuss when I thought about offensive imagery and themes that may not be the healthiest to socializing children. Have you guys had that revelation about Dr. Seuss yet, or is this a new one on y'all too?
I didn't
see any of these articles and conversations you're mentioning, so mm-hmm. I want to look through them mm-hmm. and see like what exactly like is the problem, because like, from my memory, Dr. Seuss's characters were like made up looking, you know, they didn't look like anything, they were like mm-hmm. different colors, and so I'm wondering what the offense would even be.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny you say that, right? Because there was a 2019 study that was published in the journal Research on Diversity in Youth Literature, right? And mm-hmm. they said that Dr. Seuss has had a long history of publishing racist and anti-Semitic work, right?
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, this is breaking news.
Our
y'all.
Whole childhood is a lie.
Breaking fucking news, because this actually, like I said, this came out this morning. I had a whole nother show planned, but I was reading my, you know, my trending topics. And I was like, wait a minute, this is a thing. We're going to dive into this on the Friend Zone. So, like I said, according to a 2019 study that was published in the journal Research on Diversity in Youth Literature, they note that Dr. Seuss had a long history of publishing racist and anti-Semitic work spanning back to the 1920s when he was a student at Dartmouth College, right? They said that there, Dr. Seuss once drew black boxers as gorillas, okay, and perpetuated Jewish stereotypes by portraying Jewish characters as financially stingy. Now, this is back when he was in college at Dartmouth College, right? In the fucking 1920s. So, again, this is chilling, right? Because we associate our memories of Dr. Seuss books and literature and the Dr. Seuss brand as a whole as something warm and friendly.
Dude,
And educational. We learned so much. You'll never forget some of those bars. Them was bars to me. Dr. Seuss was a rapper. Shit. You got Dr. Dre, you got Dr. Seuss.
You know what this is? It kind of reminds me of like the power of branding, you know, mm-hmm. when you don't know these people, because it reminds me so much of when you start digging into Gandhi and Mother Teresa mm-hmm. and like all these figures that you grew up being told about. You didn't get to experience yourself, obviously, because they were before our time, but their work was like legacy work. And so you just kind of take in how everyone else has chosen to highlight them. And then everything crumbles, because now in this day and age, people are digging deeper. And so I've read things about Mother Teresa that like, I was like, what? Mother Teresa.
Heard she got into a fight down to the one of them missions or something. So she said somebody had stepped on her foot, and they said Mother Teresa got to kicking ass down there at the mission. So I heard Mother Teresa, you know, I heard she with the shits.
She was with the shits. And Gandhi, you know, like, I mean, it's a list at this point. And I guess it ties into the thing of like not idolizing humans, mm-hmm. you know, and the problem with putting people on these pedestals. from celebrities to gurus to writers to you name it, even fake famous. So it's just crazy because it just feels like it keeps happening. Even Cosby, like Cosby's another example. You know, he was our dad growing up, a TV dad, and then look how that panned out. Now he's an
American Horror Story. Bill Cosby, an American Horror Story. But yeah, like I don't know. This just really struck me. But now I think about it, like the Cat in the Hat, right? You know, he was always up to some shit. You know what I mean? The cat was mostly black when you think about it. When you think about it. When you think about it, I'm telling you, the cat was mostly black. So it's just themes. It's just things I'm picking up on. You know, my third eye, my Uzi jewel is open. I'm telling you, like I can see. Okay, but wait, there's more. Yeah. So that same study examined 50 books by Dr. Seuss and found that 43 out of the 45 characters of color have characteristics aligning with the definition of Orientalism. Okay. Or the stereotypical offensive portrayal of Asia.
Oh, shit.
Now, especially at a time when I know you all have seen the uptick in awareness for anti-Asian racism that's going on in America, really all over the world right now. Mm-hmm. So I just thought that that was timely, you know, that that was something that they highlighted last year before this current wave of new information. And not even new information, because we've always known how people have been racist toward Asian people here in America and globally, but considering the pandemic and everything related to that, the horrible, disgusting, vile, nasty, shoe sole mouth things that Donald Trump said about Asians, you know, it's just it's on the rise right now. But I thought that it was of note that they noted this back in 2019 in this study. There's more. They said that there were two African characters who both had anti-black characteristics, okay? And the study found that the majority of human characters in Dr. Seuss's books are white, thus centering whiteness and perpetuating white supremacy. So, right? But there's a bigger conversation that evolves beyond this. How do you guys feel about... First of all, where does this put you with the Dr. Seuss brand? How do you feel about your memories of Dr. Seuss? Like, has this altered, you know, the positioning of those childhood moments with Dr. Seuss books that you personally have? Where you at with it?
Shit. I mean, damn.
Motherfucker.
I would like to point to you to a very triggered child that did not have enough money at the Scholastic book fairs to purchase only a Dr. Seuss book, but like a Dr. Seuss motherfucking, like they used to sell like the books with like the promo shit, whether it was like a Cat in the Hat hat.
I remember that. Like, or the cardboard cutout, or like the whole series in one.
So it's like I have memories of Dr. Seuss in the classroom, but thank God, you know, unfortunately, like when the Grinch movies came out, it was just, you know, cool to see Jim Carrey. It wasn't that I was so tied to Seuss himself. And, you know, of course, Seuss was the reason, but that wasn't my main concern when I was watching certain things as I was a child. Because as a child, you're not necessarily, I wasn't necessarily processing, oh, Dr. Seuss, as much as I'm processing, oh, you know, the Cat in the Hat, or a character that I'm familiar with from the Dr. Seuss. With that said, that don't make none of this shit okay. Because as you're saying, as we're having this conversation, it makes me think of all those cartoons where you later find out that either cartoons might have a double meaning, or somebody done found some shit out to make it mean something else.
Sexual innuendos.
That made me think about like how people were saying, you know, SpongeBob was so like subliminally it had all this stuff going on. I was like, I ain't know nothing about none of that. But then there's like a whole BuzzFeed article where they show, you know, SpongeBob puts the drawers on his face and it looks like his nose is a dick between the underwear. And then like all these different like subliminal things that they got up, and it's like, I never would have known. But thank God.
I think that's funny.
No, that shit is funny, but like I
think it's funny shit.
I mean, it is funny, but then it's like you also got to be like, oh damn, I guess that shit do suck for the parents out there that don't realize they're showing aid. Friend, what say you?
Well, it's not going to alter my relationship with the books as far as what's already happened, mm-hmm. because that's just what it is. But obviously, moving forward, I don't have like Dr. Seuss books in my house or anything. So there's nothing I have to burn or get rid of.
Right.
But, you know, as you start building family, mm-hmm. and even with the children that are in our lives, mm-hmm. when we tend to give them books and, you know, these are things that you do want to. Like, now I'm more informed moving forward about, but, it, you know, then it also makes you think, like, but do we know the authors of any books? Like, this is just a very tricky, murky waters because he just got caught. You know what I mean? Mm. And it's like, think about, what's her name? J.K. Rowling?
Yeah.
That, how, like, she was. Ass. Yeah, she was, like, I mean, cream of the crop. Like. And Harry Potter was just so massive, and then now you see how the tides have turned. Like, have changed on her.
I never really was here for all them bats flying around and butterbeer and all that shit. I never really was here for all of that shit. I don't know what's going on. Clocks bend up and trees twisted. I never was here for all that shit. But I'm glad that you bring up a great point, because the next question that I wanted to ask you guys was how you feel about this retroactive, you know, social justice and the level of accountability that people are holding these brands at. Because you look at this, but then you also look at what they did with Aunt Jemima. You know, the Aunt Jemima brand has changed their name.
Yeah.
It's now mm-hmm. the Pearl Milling Company, which hilariously some people still find to have racist undertones. Because I heard, you know, if I'm being honest, the Pearl Milling Company do sound like they'll lay your black ass off. You know what I'm saying? The Pearl Milling, yeah, I just got that layoff, man. It's layoffs.
Down at the Pearl Milling. Yeah.
Right. Down at Pearl Milling. But, okay. But, and then another thing I thought was, this is totally unrelated to our conversation, but damn it, I thought it was funny. When the Shade Room posted a few weeks ago when the company announced that they were rebranding from Aunt Jemima to the Pearl Milling Company.
Wait, hold on. Can we please name this episode Down at the Pearl Milling?
Yeah, Down at the Pearl Milling.
Down at the Pearl Milling.
Lay me out. Well, you know, he been down to the Pearl Milling for about the last 16 years. He got about 16 years seniority.
How about you going on down to the Pearl Milling?
Okay. You cash out your 401k fucking around with the Pearl Milling. But there were black celebrities all up and through the comments who were saying that they weren't going to buy it anymore because they know it don't taste the same. Now, mind you, it's the blackest shit ever, right? Mind you, they've said nothing about an adjustment to the recipe. Literally nothing.
Nothing.
But the fact that that fucking name changed, and I'm not going to name the names. I'm not going to say no names. I'm not going to do that. But I'm telling you, there was black celebrities in those comments who would say, I ain't eating that shit no more. It ain't going to taste the same. But it is.
And then you have XD tweeting, talking about, oh, I'm keeping my bottle. That might be worth something later. He said it's going to be worth something later on.
But again, that's just an example, though, of this, like I said, this retroactive social justice and level of accountability that brands are taking. So how do you guys feel about that? Is that a good thing? Is it something that you feel like things should just be left for what they are and we make better choices moving forward? Like, how do you guys feel about that?
I mean, I think it's a case-by-case basis. Mm-hmm. I think it's the best answer for me. Like, yeah, Aunt Jemima, okay. You know, that's, come on. Right. I'm okay with that being removed because we all know what that was about. Dr. Seuss. So that's my only question. What's going to happen? Are they going to, like, shut down production?
Only those six titles. They went through, remember, it was over 50 of the books that they had, I guess, evaluated.
Reviewed,
reviewed. Thank you, friend. Reviewed. And there were mm-hmm. six titles that they were pulling from publishing. They're not going to publish six titles.
But this
anymore.
Is what's interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
He's still the man that created all of the titles. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's the part that I guess it's like, they're just like, oh, we're going to pull these six. It's like this racist person, this allegedly racist person. I'm only saying that because I haven't read it myself.
Right.
But this allegedly racist person has written all of these books, but they're only going to remove six. It's like, I don't know. It's just very strange. I don't know. To be honest, I can't say that I have the answer to any of this because mm-hmm. I do believe in retroactive justice, but I do think it should be a case by case basis.
You do. So if I'm in Asante, you feel the same way. How do you feel about this? Because I want to know what y'all think the cases should be. But go ahead,
Asante.
No, I was going to say 100% of what Fran said, because there's still I don't have the answer, because I'm still battling this in music. You know what I'm saying? Like, whenever the conversations comes up about artists, and it's like, you know, how close or complicit they are to a situation, even if they, you know, aren't part of the situation, if they still are, like, there are just these levels that it makes it hard for me to even decipher. Like, some people I can just like let go of. For Dr. Seuss, I can let go of, because I'm a grown ass man. But like, I think it would be harder for me to have this conversation if I were a parent, I guess, or a teacher or somebody. So like, as for me, like, I can literally throw them away. But as a parent, I think it would be harder for me to decide, like, yeah, I can't throw them away. But, you know, should it just be considered right that they got rid of the 6 books since they did all that research? Or what, you know, because I don't necessarily subscribe to cancel culture, like, you know, with the masses. But when I'm done with somebody, I'm personally done. Like, I don't got to go tell the mountains about it. But if it's somebody that's done some shit that's wrong, you know, it's a case by case on how canceled I feel like they should or should not be.
Well, I think that our power lies in our dollar, right? When we're talking about entertainers, when we're talking about businesses and brands that that are soliciting us as customers, right? Our way of making a statement is by not purchasing things from them, by not engaging with them in that way, right? Not supporting them with our money. For example, right? Like, y'all know I was a huge, and still am, a huge fan of Kanye West's early work. The last album by him that I supported with my dollars and have streamed was The Life of Pablo. After that, he started wilding out, you know, saying some really wild things in the media. We all know about the failed presidential bid, if we even want to call it that. Like, I, so I have not been supporting his work. I don't even stream his old music. Now, what I will do is go on YouTube and to find some account that's not connected to him, where he won't get any dollar revenue from the money or whatever, you know, and but I'm not
the workaround,
you know, but I'm not, I haven't listened to anything. After The Life of Pablo, I remember one night I was in a club. I probably told this story on this show before, but I was in a club one night and heard this incredible song. It was like a minute intro, or either the DJ was just looping it. And then after a while, I heard his, I'm not going to insult his looks, so never mind. But I heard his voice, you know what I mean? After a while, and I was like, damn, this must, it was right around the time that album that he did in Wyoming had come out. I can't remember which one it was, but it was right around there. So I know that song must live on that project. But I went on and went to the bathroom. I think I peed and started talking to somebody else in the club or whatever, because I didn't want to be a part. I didn't want to continue to enjoy it because I didn't want to support him. And so that's just an example, I guess, of ways that we can do this. Dr. Seuss, prime example. You don't agree with those books, don't buy his shit. You know what I'm saying? Don't buy those books. I think that there is something to be said for the fact that this information came from the Dr. Seuss company. They tweeted all this out today on Dr. Seuss's birthday, made
a
statement.
Wait to be dragged by someone who was doing the research.
And the only reason that I'm even aware, and I'm sure most people are aware, that that study even took place in 2019 is because it was supplemental information to this original statement being made from the Dr. Seuss brand directly, that, hey, we have evaluated our work. We want to stand for these principles as a company. We've made this decision to take this corrective action on something that we have deemed to need correcting. And I think that there's something to be said for them doing that. This was not as a result of an outcry or outrage or anything. They called us. You know what I'm saying? That's how we found out about any of this. So I think there's something to be said for that. But I think the line is just, it's a blurry line. It's a murky water to kind of expect some sort of solve or some sort of corrective action on behalf of these brands for, consistently racist products and behaviors being exhibited on their behalf, right? So that being said about Dr. Seuss, let's take the conversation just a step further, right? Because accountability, I feel like, goes both ways.
Well, Dustin, can I have a chance to ask you a question?
Yes, go ahead.
What do you feel like is the correct course of action? Like, do you feel like this is enough, just the 6 books? Do you feel like, because that's why I was saying as a parent, I feel like it would be hard not to say that you're a parent, but I want to hear another perspective. But I feel like as a parent, it would be hard to be like, all right, well, good. Six books is enough. Where some might be like, well, they also need to start a foundation too, or something like that. Like, is it enough that they brought it to us that there was an issue and they fixed it?
Well, yeah, because a bitch that say something like that usually don't even give a dollar when you can don't even buy them. Remember them chocolate bars with the Whopper coupons and shit from back in the day, the little fundraiser? The bitches that say shit like that don't even be donating to the kids. They don't even buy candy from the kids on the subway. So I'm not interested in the whole, well, y'all need to donate to this charity ass motherfucker, right? I don't want to hear that. However, I do think it's great. I cannot say if it's enough or not because I have not conducted my own review of their catalog to say what needs to be changed and what doesn't. But the fact that I wasn't even, this wasn't even on my radar rather, but I'm aware of it because of their statement that they chose to make, I think that that deserves a nod from me. You know what I'm saying? I think that was good behavior and good business on behalf of the brand. So I ain't saying, you know what I'm saying, get the cat neutered. All I'm saying is, or spayed or whatever the fuck you do to cats. Hi, Trio Jade's cat, who I don't care what nobody says. She said the cat was smoking a cigarette in the front. Did I tell y'all about that?
Oh, my God.
I told y'all, I asked her what. So Jade has a cat named Trio. Long story short.
Cutest friend, cat, too. She's very cute.
She got colored contacts. Jade cat got no. Her cat got colored contacts.
She's
good. Wait till I tell Crystal. Hey, Crystal, if you're listening, girl, Jade Cat Trio got colored contacts. I know you hate her. But anyway, so. But Jade said that damn cat. I was like, where Trio at? She's like, she in the front smoking a cigarette. I was like, what? I said, what? What did you say? Now, she's going to deny that, but I'm telling you, that is what she said. Anyway, now I'm not saying that, you know, it's time to put the cat to sleep. All I'm saying is, you know, I think this was a good thing. It was a step in the right direction. I'm interested in seeing what they do next, right?
Right.
Did that answer your question, Asante?
I mean, yeah, I just keep making this correlation to this story. And you're right. Like, they came and they was like, look, we did some research. This
they
shit ain't
called
right.
Us.
Like, right. But I keep thinking to myself about these other types of situations because, like I said, I keep thinking about music where these artists keep coming out with these, like, fucked up ass allegations or scandals or whatever. And then it's like, you know, me as a fan, I'm like, all right, well, I don't want to listen to nobody that's involved with no shit like that.
I know who you're talking about.
Well, I could be talking about... I have several people coming to mind.
Sadly,
I knew who you're talking about.
Well,
I know who you're talking about.
Well, I mean, fine.
One of them looked like your shirt.
Wow.
No, the main one I'm thinking.
And I love you, bitch, but I don't like what you did.
I'm not even going there. I'm talking like think about like R. Kelly, right? Like that's the main one I'm thinking about because you see where people still be like hitting streets, marching, talking about free R. Kelly. But then it's like, really, with everything that has been presented to you, you still like you out here shouting that. And they like,
didn't he just get his ass beat in jail?
Yeah, like a couple weeks ago or something. Oh, yeah. Recently, yeah. But yeah, like I think about situations like those where there are people that feel like there's something redeeming, but this is kind of different because nobody even saw anything wrong with what Dr. Seuss did except for the people in house. Like the people that were like, all right, well, you know.
Right.
But before y'all come to us, we've done some soul searching. But right. I think the other main thread that I like about this story is kind of that thought, like, I don't know what the team looks like, but in my mind, I want to say it's almost as if a white person did their own work or a white person did the work and decided to, because I know we're not
that's
talking
good,
about.
That's good though, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's why I said the other point that I kind of want to get to or think about, because I know we're not talking about the Bell Collective, but one thing I liked on the Bell Collective, you know, is black folks trying to build. And I hated there was an episode where there was a white woman crying. So that's, you know, just kind of try to stay with me here. Do you remember, you know what I'm talking about, Dustin?
Her name's Kaylin. I know exactly who you're
real
talking
quick
about.
Friend.
And for those who don't, Bell Collective is a ensemble cast reality series on the OWN network that's produced by Carlos King that chronicles the lives of about 5 to 6 successful entrepreneurs who happen to be black women in Jackson, Mississippi. And they had a run-in with a very classless and volatile and disruptive personality who happened to be a white woman named Kaylin. And that is what Asante. Asante. That is what Asante baby, is referring
baby,
to.
Baby, 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 baby. Yes, the reason I even brought that up is because it was crazy to me that there was this black woman. There were black women having a brunch, and there was this one stray white woman here. And there, of course, the black women were talking about their struggle as black women doing business and struggling with racism in the South. And then the one white woman begins to cry and has a fit and goes out to excuse herself where they go ask her what's wrong. And she tells them, you know, white people, we don't talk about y'all like that. We don't do that. We don't do that. In my mind, it was kind of like, I'm mad at Antoinette, the girl that brought her to the brunch, because it's like, now you're making us do the work to help this white woman understand and coddle her, and it's like not our responsibility to, because we're complaining about the fact that the majority is fucking with us and should not be fucking with us just because of the color of our skin. But I say all of that to say, or I had to take you back there to say, Dr. Seuss, this makes me think of, instead of them being Kaylin crying in the room, they were the white woman that was in the room to be like, you know, I'm sorry for y'all struggle, like, this is how I'm doing my part to alleviate that stress. But is it enough to necessarily alleviate the stress, is I guess where I was getting at before. And that's why I threw in like a black woman or a person saying, you know, all right, should they do this sort of initiative? Because those books have been out for so long, you know, by simply pulling them from a shelf doesn't take away from damages that might have affected people, and they might not have even known that it affected them because they were reading these damn Dr. Seuss books.
Yeah, but there's no way you can quantify or qualify that, right? It's very possible that there are people who are damaged by certain imaging that has like racist stereotypes attached to it, but there's no way that you can that they could even begin to, I guess, make a gesture to forgive that action, you know what I'm saying? That would be sufficient. There's no way they can do it. And that's why I appreciate the fact that this was not a response to someone calling them out, or a response to an egregious, you know, occurrence that they had committed against a person specifically. This was them saying, you know what, self-edit.
Right.
That we didn't like this, and here's what we've decided to do as a company. So I personally didn't want to get caught
up. It was a call in.
That's what it was, not a call out. So I you know, I just felt like that was a good thing. Anything right. else that they do moving forward, which I'm sure anytime a company makes a statement like that, they've obviously established some sort of entity internally to assess matters like that. And I'm sure there will be things done on the other side of this to show and demonstrate their positioning, you know, as a company with a new perspective or a newfound focus on that sort of messaging. So I'm sure we'll see differences in the way that they move, but I think it's a great first step. And whatever they do next, I think it'll be good for their brand and for the people who are in contact with their brand. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It won't be no cats and hats around here. No, I'm just playing.
Okay, so, all right. So what can you guys think of, any other brands, any other companies, shows, movies, anything else that you think, what other companies or entities do you think need to do a self-edit like that to kind of comb through and see if there's anything in there that they need to change? I could tell you one right now, even though you ain't on the air no more, and if y'all do come back on the air, I would love to be on there, Wayans family, so please don't take this personal and get mad at me, but I want to see Gay Revenge. Y'all had the two snaps in the Z formation for years on In Living Color. The men on films hated it and all that shit. I want to see a gay bully. I want to see some gay people fighting back. I want to see a gay school bully taking everybody lunches and beating their ass and you know, all that. I want to see all that. I want to see gay people's revenge. That's what I want to see, because it exists, and that's the messaging that we need, okay? Y'all want to put gay shit on TV? It don't have to just be kissing. I want to see somebody gay fucking somebody up. That's what I want to see. A gay victor. That's what I want to see. What about you guys? For real, imagine if let me see, who was some, imagine if Tommy on Power was gay. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's some shit I want to see a motherfucker right. don't give
I'm
like
with you.
You know, that's what I want to see, man. So go ahead.
Show the range.
I mean, they started to back in the day because remember on The Wire, mm-hmm. back when you found out, it was like, what?
And Oz, remember Oz?
Oh, now Oz now. That was something different.
I mean, remember. I guess along the same lines, like for Latinas, like the only thing you see is the ones that look like Sofia Vergara, you know, it's like. Where's the black ones?
I love it. You on your Latin shit. What's her name, friend? Say it again. For Latinas. Do it,
Latinas.
Friend.
Latinas. Mm-hmm. So that's...
What's her name? What's her name, friend?
Sofia Vergara. You Ooh, know, like...
friend.
I did that just for you.
I love
Dusty.
It when you be on your shit.
No, but you
on
know, like...
On your caca.
On your caca, you hear? Like, I got so hyped because Netflix had a show with, like, a black witch. Did y'all see that? It came out, I think, maybe a year before last.
Luna.
Love and Hip Hop.
It was something that was, like, mystical.
It was like
and
the Brazilian witch show?
Yeah, something like that.
I know
that.
What you're talking about.
And we were all hyped when the promos came out because I was like, oh, shit, you know, she's dark-skinned.
Yeah.
It's a mystical show that taps into, like, our African religions, you know. Yeah. Like, I was like, yes. And then it came out and it was like... Bad. She had like a white... She was a slave who ran off with the white master. I was like, what? This is the only way that we could have a black lead is in relation to a white lead, you know? And it just was so frustrating to see. And it had nothing to do with anything that celebrated us and or the African religions or our connections to the diaspora. I mean, it was like such a letdown. And I feel like that continues to happen. And even, you know, people have hit me like, oh, you should create something. But let's be real. You've seen a lot of people... No, but content, like to try to get content that centers Black Latinas. But I'm like, even me, my look is very tired in the industry. How many girls have you seen that look like me with the curly hair and the light? It's like, I want to put... Y'all so funny.
Ain't no bitch. Like Amaya Scott, shout out to the beautiful and talented Amaya Scott. She
the
just
legendary.
Tweeted the other day. As long as there's breath in my body, a bitch could never. Okay? that's all I'm going to say.
And honestly, well, I mean, that's real because Amaya has been the shit forever. You know what I'm
oh,
saying?
Oh, for sure. The blueprint. So I feel so. And obviously, I don't mean as far as me or the person or the talent. But I mean, my look is not different from what we've seen. Where my look is the safe black, you know, we've talked about that before. So I would love to push projects that were more in line with the range, like Dustin was saying, the range of looks, the range of stories, range of voices. Like, come on, we not always the cleaning lady.
Yeah.
You know, like that's the maid in the house. Like and don't get me wrong, those are important stories because my mom was a cleaning lady, my family, that's how we came to this country. I will never knock that story because it is very important, but it's not the only one. And I think that's the issue. It's like we get in where we fit in and then that's where we're allowed to stay. And it's like I would love for more stories to be told and more leads that look different.
Yeah.
And that would be exciting. That would be so exciting.
I
so
agree.
I guess that's my only call in for
what
the
about
industry.
You, Asante?
So I don't know if this is going to answer your question, but because Fran took me down like a rabbit hole of TV there, and it just made me think of Black people as a whole. Like, I'm just tired of seeing like Black people in support roles when it comes to certain things on TV.
Hello.
Like... And actually, let me preface this a different way, because I'm sorry, Dustin, I'm getting aside from your original point, but I just, because Fran did all that, I just had to talk about TV for real quick.
Well, that can work. What things in TV do you think should be changed retroactively, if you were to go back?
Well, so let's talk about what I like first, and then we'll talk about what needs to change. Because what I like on TV is, shout out to WandaVision right now. That's like the super popping Disney Plus. Like, everybody's talking about that right now.
I started watching it because it's all my timeline's talking about.
You started?
Yeah, because I was like, okay, I don't usually fall into the, like, what everybody's watching. But, you know, after a while, if that's all you see, and then it got rated the highest... The most watched TV series of all time.
Damn.
I was like, okay.
I know that was one of the Olsen twin sisters that play Wanda.
Elizabeth
Olsen.
Yeah,
that's their little sister, which is bugged out. I was like, what a fucking fortunate ass family.
Yeah, she like a white woman now. I didn't know. Nah, you know, like I was surprised.
Is
like,
she grown?
Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? I thought she was always thought about her as they little sisters. That's a, she's a white woman.
A whole grown woman.
Yeah.
Well, y'all know I watch all that bullshit. Like this Wanda, this story, they're talking about S.W.O.R.D., which is an agency that's also like part of S.H.I.E.L.D., which there was a show on ABC, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where they actually had like a lot of black people in the superhero role. So, A, I'm tired of the same superheroes getting a million and one reboots. Like, I've seen Batman the same amount of times, Superman, Spider-Man, all of them. I'm tired of that. And B, I don't necessarily, because I know people are real like sensitive when it comes to, you know, we should have our own version of this or we should have a black this. So the conversation's happening about a black Superman. That could be cool. It's just, for me personally, I'm tired of us, because black people, we are so fucking cool. So it's like when we do our interpretations of things, they look dope and then we want to see that. But we're also so cool and so original that I want to see more of the original characters that have either already been created, like more of those black character stories, or more new original characters be greenlit for TV and movies and film. Because I'm tired of the same people. Like, if I see one more fucking Batman movie and they're like, oh, well, now we're finally going to get a black Batman. It's like, there have been 30 Batman movies. I don't want to just now finally see a black one. Can we just get a dope black character story arc that gets all the respect and justice that it needs and
it's due? So fresh.
That was one of the things, because on WandaVision, there's an actress, Tiana Paris. Shout out to Tiana Paris.
She's so beautiful.
She's so beautiful, so fun, and so dope. Like, she gives all of the energy. She kind of reminds me.
I love her face. I love her hair. I love her talent. I just like seeing her on screen.
So
I'm like, yes.
Perfectly cast, especially, you know, in this age of, you know, representation. She's a perfect, like, face for a little girl to see and say, I want to be that when I grow up. So I want to see more of that all of the time. Her character is originally a black character, so perfect. So I want to see black characters be the shit. Like, there's a black Green Lantern as per the comics, but whenever we talk about the Green Lantern in the, like, the movies and stuff, we always talk about the white one, and some of the cartoons do include the black one, John Stewart, but I want to bring the black Green Lantern back.
John Stewart is black?
That's the nigga's name on the
not the John Stewart.
Not that John Stewart, another John Stewart.
I was going to say, because, you know, sometimes it'd be, you know, the one drop rule.
Slash.
Tell me that before the end of the month, man. I would have gave him a shout out, man.
So, yeah, I just feel like I want to see more original stories come out, because one thing when, like, we got our action movies, when Jordan Peele started coming out with, like, Get Out and stuff like that, it was, like, cool. Like, it was original. They added our own flavor to it, you know, by doing, like, a horror remix to a song. And then it's, like, our story, like, there was a semblance of whiteness there, but a lot of black people were able to see all of those, like, underlying clues there that white folks is really like, I didn't catch that at all. Like, I like when things are not necessarily just for us, but when we can appreciate things, not that they had to be wrapped in some sort of the respectability politics or some shit. That, like, I feel like when we make a superhero black, we're just trying to see what the respectable version of that would be, and I don't care about that.
Yeah, fuck all that. I want my superhero to not give a fuck and murder motherfuckers and shit. Now, here's my thing. You know, like a real one. Now, okay, so question, more in your wheelhouse, maybe. Because you're a gamer, you know what I'm saying? You ain't new to this, you true to this. You've been pushing buttons on a controller.
Yeah.
So, what in the video game world do you think, like, are there old video games where you have seen racist themes be present? Are there old video games or even some of your, what's that shit called, y'all, anime Bullock? What's the things y'all read? Magna?
Anime
manga?
Bullock. All that, mange, all that. Listen, here's the thing. Do you see themes in those projects that you feel could be corrected or done differently to be more inclusive? My hands look so good in that Zoom video. Y'all see that?
They do. They look real immaculate.
Why do my hands look like that?
They look very soft and
moisturized and, like, pristine. Like, yeah, they look great. Okay, so one thing that comes up a lot. One thing that comes up a lot in the animation world and stuff is, like, voice acting. Like, should they have more, like, black voice actors, or why do white people be playing black characters, that sort of thing?
Oh God, yes, I saw with the Simpsons, like, Apu was his, was it Apu?
Abu, how? I think, or Apu, he, yeah, Apu, the guy at the store,
right? He had, it was a white person, and, like, that person, I believe, stepped down, you know, and then it kind of there's another cartoon that y'all watch. Oh, man, I forgot what it is.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Where the character's black and it was a white guy, but it's, you know, I was like, man, that's wild. Because he'd been playing this. You saw it too, because he'd been voicing this for like years. Like, and for him to step down, I was like, this is such a wild, interesting time.
Yeah. So back into more of that, like, I know that sometimes. Because I can't think of the examples off my head, but I feel like Cree Summer, she's probably voiced some white characters shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I feel Cree like Summer. I feel like people think in that industry, like, oh, well, you know, it doesn't matter what color you are. You get voice cast for any character, but the privilege still lied in. They were still casting more white people than people of color. So it was like, yeah, I guess you could use the excuse that you have anybody play anybody's voice, but y'all still need to put more blacks, Latinas in here, like everybody up in here.
You know what this is reminding me of? Sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
I saw a movie, and it's crazy we're saying this because I just had this convo last night.
Are you going to talk
Mystic
about
Zone? Speak on it. Speak on again. It. There was a movie I watched. I really wish I remembered the title because it is years old. Maybe someone can help me, where the lead was paraplegic, and it was a paraplegic love story set in India. And let me tell you, I was glued because it was like, oh my God, I've never seen a paraplegic lead, number one. Then it was a love story. It was such a beautifully written love story.
That actually sounds really dope.
Dude, there was no like pandering, you know, like it was like a really, you could tell, or at least to me, that whoever wrote it was really coming from like the experience of it, you know, not just a gaze of like, oh, this is what I think a love story would be. And I remember I was so blown away, and I go to the Twitter of the girl because I had to tweet her, and just like, you know how I do, I go on Twitter and highlight people that I just think are amazing at what they do. And when I go to her page, her main picture, she's standing at a red carpet. And I was like, wait the fuck a minute. Like, when I tell you that... There was something about it that really felt so off to me because it was like, are you kidding me?
I bet I know
me?
What it was. What you
but
mean?
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, are you fucking kidding? Like, I don't, y'all don't understand.
So does this mean that she's an amazing writer, or does this mean that somebody else should have written it? What was your takeaway?
Well, here's the argument I was having last night about this, because I was telling someone and they were like, well, what's wrong with someone playing a paraplegic? And I was like, no, I don't think that's right. And then I was like, maybe. And then they were saying, you know, Twitter's gotten to me. I'm like, maybe. But I also feel like a paraplegic actor exists and they don't have the opportunities to have a lead role. So for someone to take that position, whereas a paraplegic person will be speaking from firsthand experience, and think about the casting calls. How many casting calls have you seen for a lead, you know, that's not able-bodied? Like, that's not common. And so you're basically already taking such a marginalized community. You're taking their opportunity. And so I felt that that wasn't cool. And even though she did an incredible job to the point that, like, you know, it made me look for her. But there was that feeling of like, I fucking thought this was your life experience, bro. Like, and it bothered me because I felt bamboozled when I saw her in the red carpet with a gown. I was like, are you kidding?
Fran, I was on Twitter like a week or two ago, and I wish I would have like saved the tweets, the thread. But somebody was tweeting about this movie that was triggering them. And it fucked me up because... you know, when you like log on to Twitter and you start learning something, like you just end up in a thread and you're like, oh, this is educational. Like, it's not like no mess. So like this person, they were disabled and they were commenting about this movie where this actor, that was getting rave reviews had done such a good job playing this disabled character. And they're watching from the lens of, this is incorrect. They're taking like the few little bits that they know about a disabled person and sensationalizing those. Meanwhile, there are actual people out there that could give you firsthand accounts, like
that
you
could even speak true to the experience,
like could literally,
like, the way that no one else could.
Like, if they were like, you know, I'm disabled to the point to where, you know, if you really just wanted someone to do what they did, I could have done it, and it actually be real, not crazy. Because every time they watch them, and then the movie itself wasn't viewable, or really shouldn't have been viewable for certain people, because they said that there were a lot of these intermittent light scenes that, of course, you know, could trigger epilepsy, and there was no warning or any of that. And I was just like, this is crazy. The fact that, you know, people, I don't know if they made this movie to help the community or they just wanted to tell this type of story or what, but it was right. So fucked up. Like reading this account of someone saying like, this shit was wrong. Like all
yeah,
wrong.
And I think that in itself is a really, really interesting conversation because I've even had this convo with Maya because, you know, she's an actress mm-hmm. and we've talked about like, the fun of being an actor is stepping into roles that are challenging, that are different, that are outside of your experience and then trying to speak through them. Like that's the literal joy of being an actor. But in this day and age, has that changed when you consider that there are people who you're taking the experience from? Mm. Because we've seen time and time again how many white people have gotten to play the queens of Egypt, how many white people get to step into these roles and really speak through experiences that they actually have no connection to, but it's just it's been so whitewashed as an industry. So, you know, that's one thing. But then even now, it's a deeper conversation like able-bodied, like gender, like sexuality. You know, it's like, should the people that can speak to these experiences be the only ones to play these roles?
I don't think that it's that they should be the only ones to play these roles, right? But I think that it would provide a great service to the job as an actor to have someone who's had those experiences. Because right. What your job is as an actor is to express and to solicit emotion, to express emotion and to solicit emotion from the people who view the piece. The right. way that you can accomplish by that is from tapping into experiences that may or may not be akin to what you have been asked to portray. So right. if you have the talent of an actor to be able to express and convey emotion in that way, plus you have the actual experience of what the character, who the character is, and all of the things and nuances of life experience as a person who has that circumstance to where you can source that emotion, that's why it makes it better. So it right. is better if the person is, if you have a paraplegic lead and you're able to find a paraplegic actor to play the part and play it well, that's great. If you can't, you know, who knows? As you said, this lady was amazing in this role, right?
And that's the other combo my friend was saying. What if they didn't find a paraplegic actor that was good
right,
enough
you're just
for
not
the
supposed
role?
To do the movie.
Just, so, and no. that's what my friend was saying. So should the movie just not have been done? And I'm like, but I bet you they didn't even put a casting
see,
call out
that's
for
the
one.
Conversation mm-hmm.
I bet
there.
You. I can
that's
bet the that. They just picked her because she was cute. Mm-hmm. And they were like, this would be a cool lead.
Mm-hmm. That's you one know, thing I've always been interested in. Back when I was doing my little acting and shit, now I always like thought about the process for casting. Like it's one thing to just find an actor, you know, that can act, but then to also have a little background about it, their experience to see where they pull from is kind of interesting. Because if you're a casting director and you're casting someone for a disabled role and they're not at all disabled, you know, if you find out that maybe it's something near and dear to their heart because of a family member or they spent time working and helping out in the community or something like that. I feel like those roles are probably done justice because those people understand just how deep it is to the community. But I feel like all actors understand that going into a role, it's just a matter of, you know, how well they do by when they execute the role.
I was trying to see if I could find the movie, but I can't find it. If I find it, I'll let y'all know.
Okay.
A lot of trouble in the media.
Man, I mean, it's such a great combo, though, because mm-hmm. it's a lot to think about. Because one last thing, Maya's point was like, so then does that mean that like you're only supposed to play yourself? You know, do you get boxed in then as a creative where it's like if we're drawing lines of the sand where people can only speak to their experience, then where's the range that you get to show? You know, mm-hmm. so it's a combo that can be taken in many places. And I'm actually curious, those of you who are listening, I'd love to hear you chime in, especially if you are an actor or have dealt with this or just what your thoughts are, because I think it's such a juicy combo.
Absolutely. So apparently now we know why the eggs was green, because they came from a black chicken. No, I'm just playing. But yeah, I just wanted to tap you guys' brains and see what you thought about Dr. Seuss and their decision to take accountability for some decisions creatively and artistically that may not have been so great. and right. also what that means about our classics, our favorites, and just how much responsibility brands and companies have in kind of righting their wrongs. So thanks so much for participating in this evening's conversation.
They say opinions are like assholes. Everybody's got them, but they're usually not worth sharing. That is, until Hello Tushy 3.0 came along. The future of toileting has arrived. Okay, it's technically been around for centuries, but hideously expensive, costing thousands. Now, the brand new Hello Tushy 3.0 modern bidet attachment is here to level the playing field. It's stylish, eco-friendly, easy to install, and affordable. Hello Tushy 3.0 doesn't just cleanse your butt with a precise stream of fresh water. It cleans itself before and after it's used with the Smart Spray Automatic Self-Cleaning Nozzle. It attaches to your existing toilet, requires no electricity or additional plumbing, and cuts toilet paper use by 80%. 80. So the Hello Tushy bidet pays for itself in a few months, in a few poops. Because with Hello Tushy, you don't wipe at all. You just poop, spray, dry, and go. And sanitation is simple. The Schmutz Shield offers easy cleaning and the knobs are naturally antimicrobial. Plus, every Hello Tushy bidet attachment comes with a 60-day risk guarantee and a 12-month warranty. Already got a tush on your pot? Upgrade to the new 3.0 model. And if you're new to the revolution, join millions of happy Hello Tushy customers right now who have a clean butt with every flush. Go to hellotushy.com/friendzone to get 10% off plus free shipping. This is a special offer for our listeners. Go to hellotushy.com/friendzone for 10% off. Happy pooping.
Growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid. But eventually we give it up because it's full of sugar and junk that you really shouldn't eat. But Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors that you love without all the bad stuff. Magic Spoon has released a brand new variety pack, now featuring peanut butter. Magic Spoon released peanut butter as a limited edition flavor in 2020, and it sold out 3 times. Peanut butter has gotten so much love that they've decided to keep it permanent and add it to the best sellers variety pack, which also includes frosted, fruity, and cocoa. There's zero sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving, and only 140 calories a serving. Plus, it's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. It's delicious but super healthy cereal that really brings joy to your mornings or afternoons. Go to magicspoon.com/friendzone to grab a variety pack and try it today. Be sure to use our promo code FRIENDZONE at checkout to save $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee, so if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/friendzone and use the code FRIENDZONE to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. Now we're going to switch things over to your drive at 5 with DJ WELL, Fran, coming up next. Take it away, Fran.
So I'm torn because I had I had 2 wellness segments and I'm like, which one should I do? Because one just hit me. I guess I'll save one and I'll do this one now because Penguin Random House, the book publishing company, they sent me a box this morning of books.
Go ahead,
that they felt. I know. I was like, that's the best gift, to just get a box of books. Mm-hmm. And 2 of them, first of all the books are amazing. I posted it on Twitter at Hey Frank. Hey, if you want to see the books they sent me, just because I know a lot of you were like, oh, continue to share these because I always need book ideas. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the comments under the picture, a lot of people have read the books that they sent me and were sharing their insights, their thoughts. And that's always cool to see because it seems like the books are amazing. So I'm excited. But 2 of them in particular had to do with lowering your heart rate and minimizing anxiety, which ties in so perfectly, so seamlessly with the wellness segments we've been having the past couple of weeks. So I felt like that was just divine. I was like, oh, the timing of this to come the same day as the day we record.
It's a series.
The Mystic Zone. So I just thought, you know, I had to tell you guys about these books. So I was looking through them. And like I said, when I shared them, a few people even on Instagram were DMing me, telling me how amazing they had, or rather the amazing experiences they had had with these books. The first one is called Nothing Much Happens, Cozy and Calming Stories to Soothe Your Mind and Help You Sleep by Catherine Nicolai. So apparently this is a podcast, one of those podcasts that you listen to help you sleep. And the stories are literally about nothing. They go nowhere, but that's what brings the calm to your body.
I love this.
It's a cool idea. And so apparently she tells stories that kind of go nowhere and about nothing in particular. And then it kind of just helps you doze off to bed. And then she decided to turn it into a book. So I was looking through it, and you guys, it is the cutest. Look at this. It's just like a lot of little bedtime stories.
Oh, wow.
For adults.
And
they're
all
short. They're like, you know, 5-10 pages. Some are only 2-3 pages. Such a really cool idea. And like I said, when I posted this, so genius.
I love that.
So good. And like I said, people were telling me like, yo, you gotta listen to the podcast. Like the podcast is clutch. It has helped me fall asleep on many, you know, insomnia frenzy nights. So definitely check out the book. Once again, that's Nothing Much Happens, Cozy and Calming Stories to Soothe Your Mind and Help You Sleep by Catherine Nicolai. She spells Catherine K-A-T-H-R-Y-N. And Nicolai is N-I-C-O-L-A-I. Such a cute concept. I have admittedly fallen off on my reading as of late.
Ain't that what the book's supposed to do to you? Don't it make you fall off? Ain't that what it's the intention, right?
I haven't been reading as much. Just, you know, a lot going on. And to be honest, I've sat and tried to read and my brain was just like, nope. And I'm not someone that forces it. So I'm going to read this tonight when I go to sleep, and I'll report back next week. But I'm so, you know, because the stories are so short, I feel like my attention span can hang with this book. The second book I wanted to tell you guys about, because it is so cute, it is called Create Your Own Calm, A Journal for Quieting Anxiety. And it's by Meera Lee Patel. That's M-E-E-R-A-L-E-E-P-A-T-E-L. And it's so cute because it's just a journal with writing prompts. And so, like, this one says, what are 5 things you would do if you didn't feel afraid? And then it has, like, the space for you to list.
Or did you want names?
And then the bottom says, now close your eyes and believe you are brave. How will you move toward each of these 5 things? Close your eyes and believe you are brave. How will you move toward each of these 5 things? And it's just so sweet. This one has like, what are the most important values to you? And then it has a ton of words on the page, and you just like, it's just cute.
Yeah,
reflective. I think these are cute little books that, like, when you need some time to yourself to kind of tap in, see how you're feeling.
And they have plagiarized like the other lady made.
I'm so mad at you.
It's an original work.
Look at this page. It says, close your eyes and imagine your most beautiful life. What does it look like? Draw or describe it here. I love this, you guys. It's very Fran, very cute. And then each left-hand side of the page has like really cool art and quotes.
I love
that.
That are like, so just something to, you know, I think we forget to be playful with ourselves. I think that's something that I've learned, like coloring, sketching. I bought a bunch of markers yesterday.
In the morning. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead. Bro.
I knew it. I knew it was coming. I tried to just keep driving.
I knew it was coming. Go ahead. But friend, I love that book, and the art reminds me of, do you remember Blue Mountain Arts? Cards. That's what it reminds me of.
The watercolors.
Greeting cards. Yeah, Blue Mountain Arts.
Mm-hmm. So that's why I feel like what this reminding me of is the more playful side of wellness, where it doesn't have to always be like these deep, reflective journal prompts that are like having you go into your childhood layers and your just shadow work. Good. This is just like circle some words to see how you feel about them and kind of tap in closer. This one is like color, draw top what your life shit. Looks like. It's nice though sometimes.
Yeah, I like
for
it.
Wellness to just be playful. And I love that it's like drawing, sketching, circling words, slight journal prompts. And then the other one is just really cute bedtime stories. Like if we were a kid. And like I said, I just started coloring lately and I bought some new markers. And Cheska Lee, actually, shout out to Cheska. She's hey, good
at
that.
I love Cheska Lee.
Do you ever see her IG stories when she posts like sketches and watercolor things that she does? And she bought a ukulele that she'd be playing on her couch to her dog. Like, you know, it's just reminders to just like take some time out to be playful. And I just kind of wanted to put that into the wellness segment this week because everything doesn't have to be so heavy. Sometimes we could just be kids who just want some playtime.
And sometimes you just need to put it in the wellness segment. I can't wait to put it in the wellness segment either this week. Sometimes it's just what you need.
Dustin Ross.
That's and with right, that baby. Being I'm back. Said,
with that being said, we're going to move on to Mr. Music Man. What you got for us, Asante?
Well, I am very excited this week in music. I would like to take you on my first ride. I'm actually going to just go ahead and play this song out the gate, and then we can discuss right after. So for those of you out there listening, listen up, and then we'll talk. That don't know,
she's so bomb, man.
That was India Sean. That is my angel, my homie, my lover. Like I love India Sean. I've talked so about much. Her a million times, a trillion times. That is her new single. It's called Too Sweet. It's featuring the Unknown Mortal Orchestra. For those of you who don't know, they actually have a song called Multi-Love, which India did a cover of like 5 years ago, and actually when she came to New York, she shot like a video for it, and I was in it, you know what I'm saying? So if you're on YouTube and you look at India Sean, you know, look at the Multi-Love video because I'm in it. But most importantly, please go check out her new single. There's a new visual for it. She looks great. There's bomb ass looks of her. She's like the hair, the skin is always glowing and goddessy. And then also make sure you take a trip over to her social media. Just stalk India Sean all over the internet. Tell her that Asante sent you. But there's so much stuff that she put out, so much content on her Instagram. She did like a little dating show. It's kind of the rev up for dropping
with Durant. The single. It was so cute.
Hosted by Durant Bernard, which was hilarious. It was amazing. So I just had to kick off the Music Man segment shouting out the homie India Sean. That's Too Sweet. Just go look up all her music if you haven't, but I know a lot of y'all are familiar already, so check out the new single, comment on the new video, you know, like it, love it, send it to your mama, put it on Facebook, share it in all those groups annoyingly like some people do.
Can I play something for you of India's?
Oh yes. Please come so on.
I have a funny story. So most of you might know this, but I know we have like a lot of new listeners. So India and I met when I lived in Atlanta and was working on my album.
My God.
So I was in Red Zone Studios working on my project, and there was a lot of amazing writers I had the opportunity to be around. And they were like, yo, you need to link up with India Sean. Like, she could hook you up with some bomb ass music. And I was like, let me hear it, you know? So she sends over this song for my project.
Oh my God.
And I have it. I was actually found it so funny that I was exclusive, like, oh my God. Shit. And this is what she wrote and sent to me. And then I was like, forget the song. The song is awesome. And mind you, remember, this is 2008. So the sound is very 2008.
I can't wait.
But, you know, for her, I was like, I need to know who she is. And then we met, and we've literally been in love ever since, because I was just like, she's so talented. And to see how our lives have just gone where they've gone. Ooh. And now seeing her mm-hmm. finally get her shine. Mm-hmm. People don't understand how they long don't. This woman has been working. So no clue. I'm so happy to see her at this level. When I watch her music videos, it kind of makes me want to cry, because I'm just like, God, I want to cover her in all the love and safety yes. and success, because she's so deserving, if anyone yes. I know is.
Yes.
So this is the song. She's going to kill me for this. But I had to play it. It's called Call For Me, and this is how it goes.
Sitting here waiting for your call, wondering where it all went wrong. Never would I think this could be, wanting you close next to me.
Made it
as though I was the one. We should have just left it at hello.
Come on.
First of all, she was sliding on that track. She was sliding.
And this is 2008, in case anyone had questions. Like, the fact she's always sounded like this.
Always.
Always.
Amazing.
And I just, to think back, to think that she wrote this for my ass, for my project. And just our
friend,
our
you would have worked that out, though. I would have loved
you
to.
Know, it's funny.
I hear you, friend. Loki.
You can hear me singing it, though.
I hear you, friend.
That's what was funny. I was like, this is lit, but I want to know who the girl is. And I'm so thankful, because this song brought us together. And yep. So when I hear it, it just is very near and dear to my heart. And I love India, and I'm your biggest fan, and I'm just so excited. You're so beautiful, too. Watching her in the video, I was like, yo, she's so fine.
So
like,
hot.
She's like a perfect artist.
Yes.
A vocalist, a writer, an arranger. She's beautiful. Like, she's just everything you want. So I just had to put that out there, and she's going to kill me for it, but it's just too cute not to share.
Well, y'all better, again, go comment on all the things and say friend and plate. No, I'm just saying.
Please don't.
Say the friend zone sent us. We come in peace, you know, and heard some things needed more. Okay. So that was the India Sean Love Corner.
Call for me.
So friend, did you ever go back and cut the record? You know, just
I might have. I might have.
We're going to get that. Get that side by side. We're going to do that. No. Woo. I always live for the musical link ups. I love that I know people that make music, but like good, like great music too. So it's not like
great music.
Like,
hell yeah.
It's always on point and above and beyond and amazing. So, yes, India Sean. Now I'm going to take you to another corner of music. I'm going to take you down the lane of male R&B, you know, a little traditional R&B, a throwback artist that's still making new waves. Bobby V has dropped a new song called Reply.
What?
Slow down. I just want to get to know you, friend.
I just want to get to know you.
Okay. I want to know your name. Anonymous with the shit, you know, for those out there. So he's back with a new song. It's called Reply. And this is how it goes.
yeah. Please tell me you could read my mind before I get the text in, yo. And usually I'm not that type, but I really wanna come through. Girl, I got some things in mind that I wanna do, yeah. And I can't even relax until you hit me back, baby, yeah.
So that's just a little sample of Bobby B, you know what I'm saying?
Come on, Bobby B.
You know, still hitting y'all with the traditional
like
R&B.
Berry molasses.
Yes, take it all the way, okay? It's just good to hear, you know, some. I don't know, like, I always liked Bobby B's little, like, nasally, it's just something. Like, it's
I mean, I loved him in Mista, so yeah, like, I'm loyal.
Always. So, hearing Bobby B, and then he's being traditional, he's not, you know, trying to play with the kids and do a little trap or whatever. It's dope that he's doing what he does, and he still does it well. So,
you know what my shit was by Bobby Valentino? I still listen to it to this day, too. I wanna know.
What did I say at the top? Anonymous, yes. Thank you.
Why you gotta be anonymous? What's your name? Anonymous. Anonymous.
Like a cock cock.
Like I got,
she locked me up and threw away the key. Like that was the shiz.
He had a wave.
I'm telling you,
shout out to Bobby V.
Until he was up on Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, the Treehouse with them niggas starring stuff. And I tell, no, I'm just playing. No, I'm just playing. Love, Bobby V. Also, there are plenty of artists I want to shout out. I'm just gonna shout out these last few artists. No shade. I just need y'all to stay focused on the India Sean, then I want to let y'all play y'all music. So I want to quickly shout out videos that you all need to go watch, because y'all know I love the visual, and MTV or whoever might not be showing the music videos that you so wish. So if you're ever on YouTube and you just want to go down that musical rabbit hole, here are some places to go. Chloe and Halle, they've dropped their new video for Ungodly Hour.
Love it.
It is ungodly how amazing these two young ladies are. Like, they gave great looks. You know, I mean, Beyonce, Destiny's Children are really out here doing the damn thing, and I can really appreciate it. Also, since we're on the topic of children, that girl, Lele, honey,
Lele,
we have talked about that girl, Lele, on this show plenty of times, from her iconic freestyles to her finally giving us the bomb visuals to her working with the girls going on tour, you know. That girl, Lele, is back with a collaboration with Young Dolph.
Yeah.
That's right. Young Dolph is featured on That Girl Lele's newest song. And the song is called Breezy.
Yep.
There's a video to go with it. I understood when people first said to us, like, why are y'all talking about that little girl? Y'all want to hear about a little girl rapping? Well, it's a little girl rapping, but we've had little boys rapping, so it's like we've got to highlight the young women.
She's,
you know what I'm saying?
Talented.
So I found myself watching. So I was like, damn,
wait,
should I be watching?
People have said that to us.
Yeah, when I first talked about it, they were like, you know, I guess it's cute, but blah blah blah. Like, I don't really want to say what they're saying because it was all trash.
That's a little strange.
Because it's dumb. It's like anybody can do any damn thing. Shit, I'll just leave it like it is that. But what I will say is. What I will say is the music, it bumps. So, like, if you're wondering, like, why would you be listening to this young child's music? She's making records that just bump. And they're clean records. And Young Dolph gave a clean verse. And it was very, very, like, it was still Dolph, but it was for the kids. And it was amazing.
Right.
So, it was great to actually watch that. I know that there are going to be those respectability people out there that are like, oh, this grown, you know, rapper that raps about whatever he raps about on this track with children. Most of these rappers have kids, so it is perfect that these rappers work with a younger child, a younger person, to, you know, give her the credit that she deserves, because Lele is an amazing rapper.
That's right.
B, it's like, it makes sense. Like, you can actually play records for your kids now that you're on. So I think that is great. Young Lele, go check her. That girl Lele, excuse me. I called her Young Lele. That girl Lele and Young Dolph. New song, Breezy, with the video. Check that out on YouTube.
Signed to Empire and in a Nickelodeon deal as well.
Yes.
Lele is out here, as she should be. With a loving family, loving parents who are guiding her career and making sure she's protected and successful,
Amen.
Ensuring her a future. She is in good hands. That's a great example of a black family that is focused and thriving, and I love to see it. I love everything about that girl Lele being a thing,
Amen. Amen. The last video I want you all to go watch, the artist, their name is They, T-H-E-Y, with a period.
Here we go. Here we go again. Here we go again, as if her wasn't enough. Who the fuck is They?
In all fairness, I've talked about They previously, and you've done this, something similar to this previously.
Here we go again. So like, remember, yes. NeNe said that shit on the Housewives. Here we go, Star Jones. Here we go again. Here we go.
Well, here we go. They has a song out called Count Me In, and it features another artist that I've talked about, Kiana Lede. And
I like her, actually.
Well, I really like, I like both of them. Well, all of them, because They is a group too. Them. But I like...
Wait, they is a group?
Yeah, it's
They
two...
is them.
Oh, boy. Okay, got it.
Well, which one is it? Well, who is it?
All right, so I'm going to play this song by the group They featuring the artist Kiana Lede. That's really...
So They is them.
That's really all I can do for you at this, this point. That. This song is called, look, the song is called Count Me In. So,
oh, Lord. Who are we counting?
Don't you start. Here we go.
Little mama don't mess around, cause she didn't hurt it all. She got no pity for him. Cold-hearted, don't respect the talk, but you still need some love. I'm here to show it to ya. Oh, put your heart in my hands. Can't get you out of my head. If I say it, then I mean it. If you need it, if you need me, if you need me, baby, just count me in. If it's chilling at the crib or sipping on the fifth, baby, just count me in. Whatever it is, if you're going through some shit.
So that was They.
I like that. Tight. I like that from them.
So the song, I didn't play much of it. I didn't play Keanu Lede's part, but the song was originally dropped on the Amanda mixtape. And there's actually, hey, who was on that mixtape? This song is originally dropped on the Amanda mixtape without Kiana Lede, but I had to also make sure to talk about the Amanda mixtape because, or the Amanda tape, excuse me, because they have a song on there called Play Fight with Tinashe, and I love that song. But they just do really, really great collaborations, and they do great music on their own. So I've talked about them in the past. They've got this really cool low-key vibe, and they're doing more R&B stuff. Well, it's always been R&B, but they're still doing R&B stuff with that cool alternative edge, which I can appreciate. So go check them out with the new video for this as well. So that's why I was talking about it, because it's on YouTube. So that's it for my Music Man, my listens lately. Now I want to know what you've been listening to, Fran, other than that demo indie that you got to send me along with the version that you cut.
You know I will. So I had an opportunity to listen to Sam Doo's album, Moonlit Fools.
All right.
Which I did not know was his debut album, because Sam Doo has been out here. And so
Much love to Sam Doo.
This was very exciting. And the song that I would say is my favorite is called Thinking of You. And this is how it goes.
Oh,
like this always. Ooh, Sam Dude, let me tell you something about this album.
Ooh.
This album is perfect. Perfection. No skips. Such a range of genres and writing and composition. Like, he is just perfect. The vocals, like, you get everything. I've been playing it nonstop. Literally, I have no other listen lately this week. That's because all I've been listening to lately is Sam Dude's Moonlit Fools.
That song makes me want to cry, and I love music that makes me want to cry.
Mm-hmm. So much.
Like, that is so, that, wow, wow. Shout out to Sam Dude. Because yes,
shout out to Sam Dude.
I know
Dude.
They said Sam Dude, but he did that.
Okay. And by the way, his name is spelled D-E-W, because I know some of y'all were like, I didn't find Sam Dude.
Black Mountain. Like Mountain.
All right.
Well, that's it for me.
Well, Dustin Ross, what you been over there letting in to? Okay.
I have just been thinking of you.
Come okay, on, Dustin on. Ross.
All right. First song I want to play is by Dietrich Hatton. It's called Open Door Season. And even though it's a gospel song, this is the shit. Listen. My part, right?
That was
been
a part.
Opening doors. That's my part, right?
Whoa.
All right. Next up, in the same vein of inspirational music, Big Hitter by Kevin Gates off his new album,
Come
Only
on,
the Generals
Kevin
part
Gates.
Two.
Yeah, what's up? What's up?
They say a bitch nigga tryna take mine, put his brake line on the flat. Came through the pipeline on a grapevine, I'm a lifeline, that's a fact. I check her mouth out with a flashlight, search a nightgown with a strap. She might just eat dick with a razor and a mouth bite down on the back. Might put some Visine in your drink while you sleep, rip you out a couple racks. I get you tied up, make you watch a real killer, hit your wife from the back. Know where your crib at, get your kids snatched, big price, I'ma get you whacked. Don't know the whereabouts of my warehouse, about to put his face in a jam. Yeah, I live every day like my last, I wasn't supposed to be here. Yeah, I heard there's a bag on my head, that's why I'm posted in here. Yeah, ain't gotta go in the stash, no, I'm controlling in here. Yeah, I go everywhere by myself, so you might not notice the kid. Big hitter for the cartel, big hitter for the cartel, big hitter for the cartel, big hitter for the cartel.
Yeah, so it's really inspirational, upbeat music.
I like Kevin Gates.
Yeah, me too. Look, I don't give a damn. You know I like all that. The next song that I want to play actually is by Justin Bieber. I don't care because I like this
wow,
song.
Wow, the range
here
today,
we go.
Justin.
It's called Lonely.
Everybody knows my name now, but something about it still feels strange. Like looking in a mirror, trying to steady yourself and seeing somebody else. Everything is not the same now. It feels like all our lives have changed. Maybe when I'm older it'll all calm down, but it's killing me now. What if you had it all, but nobody to call? Maybe then you'd know me. 'Cause I've had everything, but no one's listening. Just fucking lonely. I'm so low.
What? Okay.
Wow. You
motherfucking
really,
Justin
you really
Bieber.
Got me liking a Justin
I'm trying to tell you, Justin Bieber got every now and then, it's like damn that song it. He had with Nas called You Are. It's like every now and then he got a song. I don't care what nobody say. What do you mean? That's the shit. Play
that song is nice.
Play it around
like
the world.
It.
Go around like the world. You can play it anywhere. It's a hit. But that song is called Lonely. Whoa, whoa. Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber. Benny Blanco.
All right.
And those my picks.
Well, then that does it here.
Opening doors. Because you're lonely.
He should redo it with that little boy. Remember that little boy that went crazy with the
Mason?
Where is Mason?
Yo,
Mason would low-key cover this and kill it.
Mason said, I'm quarantining. Fuck what y'all talking about. Mason been quarantining. Him and them boots ain't seen outside since last month. Them jeans is high waters now. All that shit. Mason been at the crib. Okay? His hair long as Jennifer Aniston's now. You should see him. It's crazy.
Not
Mason
Jennifer
is grown.
Aniston.
Y'all killing me.
Well, that does it for the Music Man segment. Dustin Ross, what have you been watching?
Guys, just been opening doors. It's open door season.
Oh, man, I'll be doing that for the rest of the goddamn day.
Okay, I'm so glad you seen it. And sidebar, friend, speaking of you, one last thing, then we're going into TV land. Because I know you fuck with Leanne LaHavis, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I listen, do I?
I saw a video clip of her singing X Factor live on stage somewhere. She was doing like she was speaking at a panel or something. And I don't know if somebody asked her to sing it or whatever, but she was on this stage blowing X Factor. So look that up. I'm going to have to find it for you.
Yeah, I need to find that.
It was so good. I didn't feel so
lonely
when I listened to Leanne LaHavis.
Wow. Okay.
Opening doors. Anyway.
This is the friend zone. Sick of the same old breakfast? Here's something new. Just Egg Scrambles. Cooks and tastes just like the eggs you're used to, but it's made from plants. Just Egg is protein-packed, but with less saturated fat and no cholesterol. If you have 2 chicken eggs with breakfast, that's already 124% of your recommended cholesterol for the day. The science is pretty clear. Plant-based diets can have a dramatic improvement in everything from heart health to life longevity. Just Egg tastes and cooks just like conventional eggs. Put it in an omelet, scramble, French toast, banana bread, pad thai, whatever you like to do with eggs. Just Egg is also better for the planet, using 93% fewer carbon emissions and 98% less water than a conventional egg. It takes 53 gallons of water to produce a single egg. Yes, 53 gallons. Y'all know how I feel about food. If it's good, I'm going to tell you the truth. The Just Egg is good. They should call it That Egg, because that egg be doing some things. It's crazy. If I wouldn't talk to y'all about it if I really didn't believe in it, but y'all have commented yourselves and told me that y'all enjoy the Just Egg. So for those of you that have not indulged, please indulge. You can find Just Egg pretty much anywhere, at most grocery stores, including Whole Foods, Walmart, and Kroger, and on Amazon Prime Now or Instacart. Just Egg, a better egg for you and your family. Thank you, Just Egg. It's a great product and from a company with a great mission.
Okay Now Listen is a bi-weekly podcast hosted by Scotty Beam and Sylvia Obel. Yay! I love them.
Yay, love y'all.
Love y'all. Brought to you by Netflix and Strong Black Lead. Join these best friends as they talk openly and honestly about what's on their minds, what they're binging, and what's blowing up their timelines. These queens have the range. They cover everything from cuffing season to Jasmine Sullivan's hotels to ways we can use social media to heal. Y'all know I like that part. Scotty Beam is a media personality, music enthusiast, and a wing connoisseur.
Yes.
Come on, resume. Sylvia Obel is a culture writer, producer, and lover of Beyonce.
Yes.
Come on. Okay Now Listen is a podcast by and about Black women who love all things Netflix and beyond, way beyond. So naturally, they also have the best Netflix recommendations and exclusive celebrity interviews like Issa Rae and Zendaya. New episodes drop every other Thursday. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts and follow @StrongBlackLead on all the socials to stay up to date.
Real Housewives of Atlanta was so good this last episode. We got to see some more of the fallout after quote-unquote Strippergate, which I'm sick of, but
wow.
Shout out to Bolo because this has been great visibility for him. I hope he's seeing financial gain from it. I assume that he is because I think he's smart about his business practices as an adult entertainer in that way. He's not a porn star. He's a dancer, an adult dancer. But anyway, so shout out to him for that. What I don't understand is this, and I'm not going to go into too much detail because it's too long of a story for me to set up properly. So this conversation is particularly for people who did watch the episode. I don't understand why Tanya Sam directly implicated herself as the third person in the threesome. Okay, all three of y'all, threesome. I can't believe she implicated herself by saying she's the Tanya Sam in last week's episode. Now let me say this, let me preface it by saying this: Tanya Sam has been a breath of fresh air on the Real Housewives of Atlanta. Totally different from everyone else on the show, came into it with her own, had all of the tangible things that people require for someone to be on this show. So she had the money to have a Rolls Royce, they had a really nice house, she wore nothing but designer labels, really into fashion. Also definitely led with the fact that she was smart and into tech and previously had been a registered nurse. She kind of led with her smarts and then also accompanied that with the fun stuff like the labels and all the money and the taste for the finer things or whatever. So I enjoy her on this show. I think that she's the worst type of person ever to have to keep a secret with, because she gets nervous and folds under what really isn't even pressure, but feels like it in the moment. Kenya Moore was grilling everyone at the table because she said that she had heard somebody fucking in the room off of the kitchen, which was Portia's room, okay? Mm. She said she heard somebody fucking, she heard Bolo's voice, she heard Portia's voice, and she heard another woman's voice. That's what she's alleging that she heard, right? Everyone else is kind of being evasive, sticking to what we're calling girl code and not really telling, you know, details about what they witnessed people doing the night before, because there were people kissing, rubbing, humping each other. They were having a good time in a very free way. Yeah. But there were some cameras.
What's the big deal, though?
Right. There were cameras and audio that was still running. According to Kenya Moore, the big deal is that it involved, according to her, Portia Williams. And she feels like Portia has a history of trying to weaponize people's sexuality and use it against them and being harmful with that. You remember back in season 9 when Portia and Phaedra allegedly participated in a rumor and spreading a rumor that Candy Burris had a sex dungeon and was attempting to drug Portia and take her back to the sex dungeon with her husband Todd, and alleging that Candy had a 7-year relationship with a woman and sensationalizing those things and kind of trying to make them like, you know, darts and arrows that she could shoot at Candy. Then she called Kenya Moore a slut from the 90s and always made references about her being passed around and stuff like that. Like, so she's, you know, she hasn't been the kindest to people in the past. And so now Kenya Moore is like, fuck that. I heard y'all fucking in the house that they were on a cash trip. I'm going to talk about it. Basically, she's saying, I'm going to talk about it. Candy Burris obviously also heard these same things, but she's definitely pleading the fifth. She said what happens in the dungeon stays in the dungeon, and she's, you know, kind of pushing that because Candy's in a weird position. This has been the ultimate infomercial for her. She's done nothing but hawk her bedroom Candy products through having this Genius. Bachelor party for right. I mean, listen,
a Taurus, okay?
What you're supposed to do in this, well, not what you're supposed to do, but like what would be the most advantageous for a person in her position, and she's consistently done it season after season after season on this show. Look at how she has pushed her aunt, the idea, the concept for her restaurant, which is now in its third location, was based on her aunt's personality that they displayed on the show. She showed that they like to cook. She showed the process of opening this restaurant on the show. Candy optimizes her time on camera on this show, and it's the ultimate promo vehicle for all of her entrepreneurial endeavors. How can you hate on that, right?
Right.
Okay. So Candy was kind of focusing on that and also saying, I plead the fifth, but definitely posturing, gesturing, and Her countenance, her facial expressions would lend one to believe that she was in agreement with what Kenya was saying she heard, okay? But Candy also was vocal about, like, why were Tanya and Portia in some ways implicating themselves as the people who were in the threesome. So Tanya, back to my original point, starts pressing the table with questions and accusations about what she heard last night and who was where and what time did everybody go to bed, and just prying and asking questions that somebody like me or you would have ignored or either shut down completely, like, after the first question. Kind of like what Portia was doing. Portia was ignoring her. She was like, are you trying to say it was me? You trying to say you heard me doing something? And she was like, Kenya says, well, I didn't say any names. And Portia was like, oh, well, then it's a dead deal. If you're not going to say my name, then there's nothing for us to talk about, is it?
Wow.
Okay. But Tanya, when Kenya's asking where everyone sleeps, Tanya says, well, why are you so worried about it? Is it because you haven't been getting any lately? Immediately getting defensive and throwing darts at Kenya because she's still mad at Kenya from last season about the cookie lady who said that Tanya's fiance was flirting with her. And Kenya brought the bitch back around later on. So they still got a little beef or whatever. So Tanya starts throwing those kind of personal digs at Kenya. Kenya, just like the seasoned shit starter that she is, she assesses that as, you know, Tanya becoming nervous, essentially because she's guilty, and continues to press a little harder. She ratcheted up the pressing, right? So then she says, Tanya says, well, I just want to say went to sleep in this girl's room all night, pointing at Portia. Candy immediately, you know, Candy can't hold her face for nothing. Candy starts going, oh my God. Like, Kenya goes, okay, all right, okay. Literally placing herself in the room where she heard the noises, which continued to push this whole story further and has now driven a huge wedge in between the group and in between any hope we have for Kenya and Portia to actually get along and exist in peace and harmony with each other on this show. Since they came in season 5, they have been adversarial with one another. It reached its climax at the season 6 reunion, where it became a physical altercation and Portia dragged her on the ground. The clip I played a couple weeks ago where she said, I've embarrassed myself, you know, and I said it was Tessica Brown, who it was in theory. Well, that was Portia when she drugged Kenya down to the floor. And ever since then, they've been at odds. There was a brief glimmer of time where they got along when they both were pregnant. They had just had their daughters. They were new moms on the show. Kenya had returned after a year away from the show, and her and Portia were getting along. That was season 12. But at the end of that, at the reunion, based on different disrespectful shit they had said about each other in their confessionals, they were arguing at the fucking reunion, and now we've carried into season 13 and they're literally at each other's throats, because Portia had been playing it cool and literally ignoring Kenya for the first 10 episodes, and now Portia's starting to get pissed off. Now Marlo and Kenya have made up after four season long feud.
Damn.
They've been feuding since season 6. It's now started. Well, Marlo was gone for 2 of those seasons. So it's like 4 seasons that they've been feuding for. They made up on this same trip. So now Kenya has a new ally in the house. Immediately, you can tell Portia becomes icy to Marlo and everyone else at the table. So Portia obviously took issue with that. So there's all these new things brewing, and it's done nothing but drive a further divide between Kenya and Portia, who both of them on the show I'm talking about, I actually like. I like what they both bring to the show. And it felt good when they were getting along on the same side and both being hateful and venomous to Yovana, aka that bitch from Clark, who deserved it. That was a good thing. That's when we want to see y'all be that way. But this part, even though it's going to be entertaining to watch because their verbal sparring matches are quite entertaining, so it's going to be great TV to watch, but I'm going to be exhausted by it because I actually want them to get along. LaToya is flip-flopping all over the stage of this show, going from her loyalty from one person to the next, this to that. However, LaToya is polarizing on this show, and she has kept me and everyone else entertained and in awe. So she has done her job, whether you love her or hate her. You know how people either love or hate Kenya Moore? It's the same way with LaToya. people either love her or they hate her, and people are going to shift back and forth between the two. You're going to love her sometimes, you're going to hate her some other times, but you're not going to be able to take your eyes off of her. And as a person who understands how television works, it's good business. Her job is done, and it's done damn well.
Juicedora's only fan.
Well, yeah, and now I want to say this too, because I'm just as vocal as I've been about things that I did not like. I want to say this. Drusadora has grown on me on this show.
Yes,
and
she
I like her on the show now.
Yep.
Drusadora has grown on me.
Turn
I'm
it
not
around.
Saying every wig choice is right. I'm not saying any of the styling is right.
No.
I'm not saying that.
No.
But what I am saying is that I enjoy her on this show, and I like the way that she is now actually becoming a part of the story, a part of the connection to the other ladies. There were several scenes in episodes where they were not filming together. Now that she's a part of the fray and things are happening that are fresh and new and it's not connected to any old story, it's starting to become an organic mixture of personalities, and I'm enjoying her on the show. So I don't take back anything that I said. I'm just starting anew, and I'm saying that I'm enjoying Drew on the show now.
Can I add to that just by saying, like, there is an actual formula to how you come on the show, and she didn't follow that. Because I feel like some girls come on, they try to follow this formula by acting like they've known the girls forever and do that whole thing, or they try to insert themselves. But LaToya just asks very, like, regular questions and reacts accordingly to what's being thrown at her or to the situation.
She don't give a fuck.
She doesn't try to make it be like,
she say whatever the fuck she want to say.
Yeah, she doesn't try to insert herself and bring up everybody else's old shit. Like, it's great. It's great how she's played. Like, her role she's setting in. So,
Portia, I wonder, gets mad and storms off from the table. And LaToya looks at Kenya and says, "See what you did, Kenya." Like, and everybody's like, it's so awkward because everybody's like,
yes,
quiet and nervous, because, you know, it's such a long-standing beef, and they got physical at one point, and there's accusations about motherhood going back and forth, and judgments over behavior, and it's really deep. And Portia gets up and literally leaves the table, and LaToya asks, mind you, who's brand new to all of this, LaToya asks, gonna say, eating food, friend, LaToya gonna say, "See, Kenya, look what you did." And Kenya gonna say, "Look what you did, LaToya." She couldn't say, that's all she could say in response. That's how LaToya be tearing their ass up, because she literally said, before they can even see it coming, she just says whatever the fuck she wants to say. So
yeah,
I love it, and I enjoy her on this
it's
show.
Great.
Some people are gonna hate her guts, but I enjoy her on this show. The only other thing I wanna talk about, two and a half. Miss Wanda on Love and Marriage Huntsville is the show. She has her argument with Martell, hilarious. Martell telling Melody's brother that he was going to beat his ass if he ever said something to him about them kids, hilarious, and I understood it. While I disagree with everything about Martell, and he is really presenting himself unlikable, that was so funny, because if I had children and my kid's other parent, sibling, told me that, "Well, your kids, you know, your kid's upset. They said when you came over my house, when they came over my house, they said, will you be our daddy?" When he said that to Martell, Martell said, "You say that one more motherfucking time, I'll beat your motherfucking ass in this parking lot. Say it one more fucking time, and I'll beat your ass in this parking lot." That's immediate. When I tell you it was immediate, that's immediately the way he responded. And I felt that, because I ain't got no kids. All mine still in the sack. I ain't got none.
Mind you, friend, it was already like an aggressive, like, they already have this aggression towards each other because of the things that Martell's done to his sister.
And because Martell told them kids he was gay. Martell told them kids that the uncle was gay. Remember this week they said that. Melody said the kids said that Martell said, "Uncle, I can't remember his name, like boys." That's what he told them kids. So God forgive me, because it's
so
funny. But
so, well, you know, just the optics of that happening, and then for him to show up to the party in the same costume as Martell, just to tell him what Martell felt was some bullshit, it was like not a pretty situation. It just wasn't.
Yeah.
But
yeah, so
entertaining show. Very, very entertaining.
Bell Collective has been really, really good.
Very, very entertaining.
Latrice is my favorite. And
yes,
her husband is crazy, but Latrice is a good person, and I just really, really like her. I really like her personality, and I think she's a fair person.
Yes.
And I feel bad for Marie for her health issues, but Marie be tripping sometimes.
Yes.
It's like I have a love-hate thing with Marie, you know?
Yes.
Tamra needs to mind her business and start splitting the tracks, okay? Because that's a lot of hair. It's a lot of hair.
So
hair, her head looked like D'Angelo's coat. And sidebar, everybody.
Oh my God, we didn't talk about
it. I told you it was 2.5. Now, Versus came on. It was D'Angelo. It really was a D'Angelo concert. They said D'Angelo and friends. Nobody came up but that girl over there. And then Method Man and Red Man.
Stop it. First of all, your tweets, I literally had to tweet. I'm ignoring Dustin's tweets because I always live tweet the Versus. And so I'll see whoever else is tweeting. And Dustin kept throwing me off when he posted that scene from
Life. From Life.
Was it Life?
Soon as her came on that stage.
I was so mad.
You know what Martin said in that scene.
Hey, ain't nobody trying to hear that bullshit.
But anyway, it was funny. And I don't give a damn. My favorite, because that's, you know, that's what it's for, engagement. My favorite tweet from myself for the night was when I said, I'm telling you,
from myself.
Are you Jabri? Are you smart? Yes. For myself. So my favorite tweet was when I said that D'Angelo's coat was washed and blew out and just waiting to be curled, and then it's out the door. You know that coat was 1B. No. That coat was 1B. That's the color the coat was. It was nothing but it was a weft.
I loved it.
It was hair on the weft. Oh. So anyway, Bell Collective was good.
I love that coat, but he reminded me, have you ever been to an event where you had like a dope coat and that was kind of planned to wear?
That's the outfit. That's the whole outfit, so you don't want to take it off.
That's the whole outfit, but then it gets too hot in the place because you saw he was not trying to take it off, but he was like, all right, it's just fucking too hot. He had to kind of sit farther away from the camera, but all jokes aside, that was amazing.
It was. It felt good.
That was amazing.
It felt good. It was good to watch.
I was vibed out.
Don't you wish Solange would have came out on Send It On? That would have been so perfect. Solange would have skated.
Oh, that would have been cool. I could hear that.
You know, I'm an A&R, honey.
I was so happy to hear that.
I'm an A&R. That's how I knew that. Guess what? That's how I knew this song was the jam. Lonely.
And on that note,
it's opening dawn.
Literally.
That's right. Thank you.
We love you guys so much. Thank you so much for listening. And we will catch you guys next week.
Stay blessed and protect your magic.
Bye.
Bye.